is Mike Quinsey here once again to Connect the Light. As usual, I've got plenty of material here, and as I promised last week, I've had a bigger section on UFO come ET experiences, and I will remind you that the website I work from, which is the Tree of the Golden Light, asks people to send in details of their personal ET or UFO experiences. And there has been quite a good response, and I did say that I will pick some out from the first batch we had about a couple of weeks ago and read them out to you, so that is to come a little bit later. But as usual, I will start off with my favourite, which is Sheldon Neidel's message on behalf of the Spiritual Hierarchy and the Galactic Federation. He is talking here about what is being accomplished by the Earth Allies, and how on previous occasions their efforts look set to be overwhelmed by the dark, because they point out that there are numerous moles within the ranks of the Earth Allies who alert the last dark cabal about any impending danger. Anyway, the message goes on to say that this time we are at last invited to participate fully in this party and can enjoy a most deserved celebration. As we await this momentous moment in your history, we can assure you that the results of what is about to happen are to be the most successful. Currently, our fleet liaison officers are supervising the swift winding up of those tasks remaining at our end. But the bulk of this undertaking is done, and some truly grand times lie ahead. Very shortly, we expect some major decisions to be proclaimed by a number of new governments. These unprecedented declarations are to set the stage for our arrival on your shores. Now, one can speculate as to what is meant there by saying that they expect some major decisions to be proclaimed by a number of new governments. And I wonder if this perhaps means that governments outside of the West, which might be more amenable to the idea of contact with ETs and UFOs, perhaps are going to come out into the open and announce that very proclamation. It would only need, I think, a few governments to do that, and others would follow, and I think that would force the cover-up of ETs and UFOs to be completely brought out. So we will wait to see whether indeed that is the case, but I can't think of any other explanation for the moment. But they did say in the concluding sentence there that these declarations would set the stage for their arrival. So I can only think that's what it is. The message goes on to say, now at long last, the moment of victory is at hand. When the last few pieces are in place, we duly expect the many changes we have all been longing for to begin manifesting. These changes are designed to rapidly stabilize your world and encourage global harmony. Our concern is to stop the Dark's recently established plans for global economic collapse. Once we neutralize this treachery, your world can move away from a multitude of disasters. Now again, I come in there and say that the plans for global economic collapse are presumably ones which give the last cabal the chance to take over on a global basis, and maybe for the first time they would form a world government, and then of course that would give them absolute control. I can't otherwise think of any benefits to be gained from a global economic collapse, but as we've been told many times, it is the way of the dark to create chaos and then come in with the solution, which of course they already have in hand and for which they created the chaos in the first place. So there we are. That's my thoughts on that one. The message goes on to say the prime disaster in the making is, of course, global warming. Three main factors contribute to this phenomenon. First is the ravaging effect of industrialization. In the past two decades, this blight has spread massively into the developing world, especially the highly populated nations of China and India. These latter are now caught up in a spiral of surging industrial production and attendant rising pollution. This is on top of the enormous damage already inflicted over the last 200 years by the nations of Europe and North America. Second is the natural process of transformation of Mother Earth as she, like you, changes back into a fully conscious being. As this happens, processes come into play that cause her ice caps to melt, her atmosphere to heat up, and her flora and fauna to undergo great changes. The third factor in the matter is the hyperactivity of the sun. Here, colossal outpourings of coronal discharges into the solar system affect Mother Earth's upper atmosphere and provide conditions for big changes. It is true that this is a time of grand change. However, your unconscious efforts of the last 200 years greatly influence the immensity of the changes that are now seen around you. This growth in responsibility gave birth first to the emotional and then the scientific desire to care for the living spaceship that supports you. The message goes on to say that despite a number of international agreements and dedicated grassroots activism, the problem of how to control the emissions of greenhouse gases and many other pollutants is not even close to a viable solution. The present momentum of a global economy dominated by multinationals can lead only to inevitable catastrophe. This is why a new economic direction is an essential first step, and why the program to be put into effect by our Earth allies is so vital to everyone. Prosperity unleashed without a proper purpose solves nothing. Therefore, a constituent of the upcoming prosperity programs will be a series of objectives whose focus is to quickly transmute the factors that imprison you. Freedom is a state of mind, and it confers an active responsibility to self and others. Debt forgiveness also involves goals that induce social responsibility. The ills of the past need to be remedied in a manner that forever prevents their reoccurrence. All these prerequisites shape the new economic system that is to be instigated once the present American regime is driven from office. These crying needs are bringing the impending solutions into play. Our liaisons and diplomatic personnel are very excited at the prospect of the imminent downfall of the last stronghold of the dark. The message goes on to say that once the UFO cover-up is put to flight, we will naturally be seen in our true colours as your benevolent space family. Completing this contact mission with the peoples of Mother Earth allows us to assist you openly in resolving your environmental problems. However, the nature of our technology requires a reality that is beyond the dark realm that has smothered you for so long. Thus, with our help, each upward step of your new reality permits yet another, each one accelerating your progress toward your ultimate goal, your return to full consciousness. I conclude my extracts from that message by reading, "Look to the divine purpose of these end times, the birth of a golden new reality. Together we are indeed victorious." Concluding, today we touched on some of the many elements coming together to produce your new reality. We know this cosmic drama can seem quite bewildering. We ask you all to call upon your deep inner resources to find ways to maintain your cool and above all, your sanity. And know that you are not in this alone. So there we are. That's what I've extracted from Sheldon's message from this week. I will now pass on to a number of items I've got here which I put under the heading of general news, and strange enough, the first one that I want to refer to relates to general news, but it has come in the form of a message from one known as Christ Michael, which some of you might have heard of. And this was a message that was channeled on the 31st of May. I haven't got the site address here where they're normally shown, but I'm sure if you wanted to follow that through, you could find Christ Michael's site or where they come through by doing a search on the web. Point is, the message was one that related largely to what is happening or liable to happen with Iran, and it's very topical and up to date, referring at the start of the message to Condi Rice, who, it was stated, essentially dictated a final warning to Iran. As many of you may suspect, there are ships sent on the way. The departures were in April and include the USS Trenton, the USS Hugh City, and the USS James C. Williams, which are apparently guided missile carriers. The helicopter sub-destruction service is provided also. And the message says, America prepares in advance exactly as they did prior to 9/11. The plans are set up. Now, the message says, Iran has some very nice long-range missiles that operate in the water from submarines. Gratis Putin from Russia. American military ships must approach the coast of Iran from the Arabian Sea. This waterway continues up the Iran coast and becomes the Persian Gulf. Into that, your ships are prepared to go. There are Russian subs awaiting them, and I might add, Russian Cosmospheres, which are apparently flying saucers. It continues to read, there is already an American ship in the Persian Gulf, which appears to be a commercial ship, but it is a military decoy. The Iranians know this, they may be enticed to blow it up, meaning an attack will be made from this commercial appearing ship, forcing Iran to defend itself. If this occurs, Iran will defend itself. This will be used, if it should occur, as an excuse for war. Iran will be held responsible for destroying an American non-military ship. So there we are. That's how far I've gone by extracting part of the beginning of the message. Now it goes on to say, we are in full force around the area and are working at keeping the self-destruction of this ship from occurring. And I think when the message says, we are, this refers to Christ Michael and the forces of light, which can work either directly or through the ETs. And it goes on to say, there are shields that can defuse any bombs. At this time, a number of people are making the presence of this ship known around the world. We will do all that is possible to prevent the proposed scenario. Now, as to the long-range underwater very accurate missiles, the American military has little chance of protecting itself. There is an additional flotilla of American ships moving into the area, into the Persian Gulf, and if you study your maps into the region, it will be a bit difficult to flee. There is a narrow strait around Oman, and this area is highly protected by Iran. American military are setting themselves into a trap. The message goes on to say, Iran has placed bombs which can be detonated easily in the gateway area around Oman. There will be no escape of the American vessels if this area is detonated. and it refers to it as a massive trap in that area, which will be tough for America. And they also say that Russia has very amply protected an interesting American target within Iran and has planes and missiles also posted in a variety of areas that can effectively intercept an air attack. An airstrike into Iran is not advised. You of the American military schemers, neither is a land attack. On top of that, consider the plasma shield erected over vulnerable areas. It's interesting that comment there about the plasma shield, because I read many years ago of the ET's ability to place these shields around massive areas, and they can prevent absolutely anything at all piercing them or getting through. So I accept that that is totally possible. The message reads, now there is an interesting technology that Russia has in its hands for border protection. It is a beam placed in various stations along borders that will repel any attempt to go through the beam. It can be set to kill or merely cause a great deal of discomfort. Coming back to the war in Iraq, it says that regarding the war in Iraq, injured journalists, referring to this last weekend's attack, and they say, as well as the one on the ABC Bob Woodward months ago, these were carried out by the American Black Ops military. And it mentions that roadside bombs are a very useful Black Ops tools. So I thought I'd mention that as well, as the message is one of really many revelations of what is going on. And then, keeping on the line about the journalists, they say most journalists killed have been murdered by American military. And it matters not which country they come from. They are shot on sight most of the time. Major journalists are set up, especially those from the US, as in the several cases. Most of the time that hostages are taken, this is American Black Ops also, getting rid of unwanted American, English and Italian good guys. The message also mentions that around April the 17th, the message gave a figure of 286,782 civilian casualties in Iraq from the war, and states that today, when the message was given, which was May the 31st, it stands at 298,132, and comments that that is quite an increase over a period of 6 weeks. Now, the message was in total, the way it was laid out, the best part of about 6 pages, so I'm still reading extracts, and I don't think it's really taking anything out of context, and it still brings the pertinent points home. So I will conclude with the following extract, saying, we will do a little open contact to loosen the log in the logjam. A certain possibility, but not a certainty. I will not risk the planet being told we come to invade. This government will be removed from within. I do believe the news will shortly provide the indictments in their hands, and these indictments are from the courts, not us. And they include indictments for those who have not cooperated in the highest levels of the news organisations. So there you are. Maybe not everybody puts total confidence in messages that come through those type of sources that cover such earthly activities, but I prefer to sit on the fence where they are concerned. And it's interesting to be forewarned, and it clearly won't be too long before we will see to what extent the truth is contained in those messages. I'm not implying there is anything else, but everything is left to a certain degree, shall we say, of chance anyway. And if big parts of it never actually materialise, that doesn't mean to say that it wasn't a possibility. So, getting on to the next item of general news, more or less sort of follows the theme of the last message in a way, but There is apparently an alert out from Israel, from the Mossad, or indeed about the Mossad, who have previously staged what they call false flag atrocities. And there appears to be some type of alert out which has been circulated to 650 UK journalists and all mainstream media editors and English football teams, etc., to warn of a possible staged false flag atrocity. And there is a note here saying this has to be taken seriously, as similar warnings from Israel appeared on the internet prior to both the staged false flag atrocities at New York 9/11 and London 7/7. I'm sorry I haven't got any more details to give you, but it is the mere fact that that is the first time I personally have seen anything which infers that the World Cup this year might be the subject of some sort of attack or staged event. Again, time will soon tell what the truth is about that one. Now, George Bush is still coming under a lot of criticism, and there are a lot of demonstrations against his presidency. And there is a website which is called VoteToImpeach.org, which is currently selling impeach kits, as they call them, which includes T-shirts with suitable slogans on them and other bits and bobs for a pack price of $50. And the email coming out of the site, at least I think it was from the site and not comments that someone's made about it, is they say, "We know that this coming 4th of July, George W. Bush will wrap himself in the flag and shamelessly promote his vision of endless war, as he did in his commencement speech at West Point, May 29, the day after the New York Times front page detailed the horrific Haditha massacre. It is almost inconceivable to think of any participating in any 4th of July event without raising impeachment." So they're asking people to declare their independence by turning the 4th of July into an impeach Bush event. And they say that George Bush's criminal conduct has never been more exposed, with his approval ratings dropping to 29%. And they say, compare that to Nixon's 24% before his resignation. And there has never been a better time to bring more people into the impeachment movement than now. And on July the 4th, millions of people in the US will gather with friends and family to celebrate the independence of the United States from an earlier despotic ruler, King George III. And this July the 4th, we will declare our independence from current-day despot George W. Bush, whose imperial wars of aggression, secret worldwide torture centers, domestic spying on the American people, and criminal neglect of the people of New Orleans constitute high crimes and misdemeanors that require impeachment. So there we are. There's a site that's after trying to give a lot of publicity to the idea of impeaching Bush, which we all believe, do we not? Maybe is still going ahead through the work of Patrick Fitzgerald and his other members. There was an email that I took a short extract from, which came from a category called cover-up, oblique deceptions. Again, I regret I don't know the precise source, but this came out on May the 30th, and all I wanted to comment on there was that it says that federal authorities are actively investigating dozens of American television stations for broadcasting items produced by the Bush administration and major corporations and passing them off as normal news. So there you are. They believe Bush planted fake news stories on American TV. So I suppose what they're saying is, be warned, be careful what you hear. But of course that shouldn't be allowed, and I guess it can be correctly described as illegal. Now, a very tiny incident, in a way, occurred in England, in London. And it was from a report by Jason Bonetto. And it was about Scotland Yard, who were accused of stifling protest and a huge overkill after this disclosure that 78 police officers had been used in the, in an operation to remove placards from the anti-war demonstrator Brian Hoare. Now, if you haven't heard of Brian Hoare, he is parked with his banners and flags and actually stays there 24 hours a day. He sleeps overnight so that he can maintain his position there. I think if he once moved out, he would not be allowed back because they passed a law now stopping people from demonstrating anywhere near Downing Street or the Houses of Parliament. And what they did in the operation was remove a lot of his placards. And this was an early morning raid by the Metropolitan Police. And they took flags as well where he was on Parliament Square outside of the House of Commons. And that cost the taxpayers £7,200. Now, that isn't very much in real terms, but we in England or the UK are always told that we have a shortage of police and they're very busy doing their work. And yet here we find one person, just a single person, Brian Hoare, demonstrating against the Iraq war, which is what it's all about, and of course against Tony Blair, and they're doing their best to try and get rid of him, which shows that the truth is obviously embarrassing Tony Blair. But I do hope this man, very brave man, will last the course and won't be bullied and made to leave against his wishes. But there are, shows you the sort of things that happen. We don't get too much of that in the UK, I'm pleased to say. What has also happened in the UK, and I don't know if this is applicable in the States, in as much as you already have a law that is the same, but on the website newsscotsman.com/UK, there was an article from Jerry Peeve, who is a political correspondent for that paper, and it says that soldiers who object to taking part in a military occupation of a foreign country will face life in prison under measures due to be rubber-stamped in the House of Commons, as it was on Monday this week. And that it says the Little Noticed Armed Forces Bill will have its third reading in the Commons on Monday, and left-leaning MPs are alarmed that it will legitimise preemptive military strikes. It will change the definition of desertion to include soldiers who go absent without leave and intend to refuse to take part in a military occupation of a foreign country or territory. And under the current Army Act, desertion is defined as going absent, intending not to come back, going absent to avoid any services overseas, or going absent to avoid service when before an enemy. And campaigners have seized on the inclusion of military occupation as evidence that the ministers are trying to scare soldiers from objecting to future preemptive strikes, which is a charge denied by the Ministry of Defence. And of course, this move comes as the tensions are escalating with Iran, and it follows a reported rise in soldiers absconding from the British Army since the invasion of Iraq. We have read stories from soldiers who are so downhearted and so sick of the fighting in Iraq, and they have actually said they don't actually know what they're fighting for. That obviously the military are getting worried that this could develop into a large-scale desertion, but does that not seem rather over the top to threaten, if it becomes law, to sentence someone to life in prison? I mean, that is unbelievable, isn't it? Anyway, there we are. We're waiting to see what has happened as a result of that. But if you haven't had it in the States, I wonder what your situation is. Now, there's a lady called Louise Seuss who does an e-sign on the internet, and she does an excellent job, spends a lot of time picking up on all the interesting news items, and she puts them under the various headings with links and other information. It gives a short write-up of what is on that particular link, and I get this, and I had the one which she does on a weekly basis for this last week. The one that caught my eye was that there is, and this is the heading on this article, a crisis in the United States as counter-coup forces engage in a gun battle at nation's Capitol building. Apparently there is a report by Saur Shafal, and it's as reported to her Russian subscribers, saying that Russian intelligence analysts are reporting today, which was the 23rd of May, I believe, that the ongoing constitutional crisis that has erupted in the United States has taken a decidedly deadly turn. As counter-coup forces attempting to block access to the American Capitol engaged in a brief gun battle with US-American special forces, leaving at least three dead. And it says, of this currently unfolding event, we can read as reported by England's Times Online news services in an article titled US Capitol Sealed Off After Gunshots Heard. Now, there's another extract also quoted in this e-sign, and this is from the website timesonline.co.uk. And this goes into a little bit more detail, which I'll read out. I think it's beginning to come to light and circulate the web now, but I'll read this bit out anyway. This comes from a report that went on the web, I think, on the 26th of May. And it said that police sealed off part of Capitol Hill today after reports that gunshots had been heard in the garage of a House of Representatives office building. And the shots were heard in the garage level at the Rayburn Building, which houses officers of members of the U.S. House of Representatives. Bill Pickle, the Senate Sergeant-at-Arms, told Reuters, "We have been told by staff of shots fired and the smell of smoke in the lobby of the Rayburn House building." Russian intelligence reports further state that the United States Army has activated for this event their fourth Psychological Operations Group task organization, and which was the US military unit that coordinated the misinformation or disinformation campaign during the events of September 11, 2001 to such great effect. And they say this causes behind this latest escalation between the coup and counter-coup forces in the United States stems from the American president's attempt to wrest total control of his country from both its elected representatives and its judiciary. And as we can read, as reported by Italy's La Cia news service in their article titled "Bush is asserting the powers of the coup to Hitler," and which says President Bush has used signing statements hundreds of times to vitiate the meaning of statutes passed by Congress. In effect, Bush is vetoing the bills he signs into law by asserting unilateral authority as Commander-in-Chief to bypass or set aside the laws he signs. For example, Bush has asserted that he has the power to ignore the McCain Amendment against torture, to ignore the law that requires a warrant to spy on Americans, to ignore the prohibition against indefinite detention without charges or trial, and to ignore the Geneva Conventions to which the US is signatory. And so the report goes on, but there you are, there's enough in that one for people to get an idea of what is taking place. You've already been hearing about the Marine scandal, and I saw an article which is circulating, which had come through the Associated Press on the 28th of May, and I don't want to dwell on this. I think we hear enough about these types of crimes, but it was saying that the US military was bracing itself for a major scandal over the alleged slaying of Iraqi civilians by Marines in Haditha. Now, strangely enough, although when this came up on our television news over the last couple of days, one or two people commented on it that it appeared to be a justified charge against the Marines, I did hear on the news today, without it being qualified or made quite clear as to how the conclusion was reached, that the Marines might in fact have already been cleared. So I don't know what's actually true coming up there. Certainly from the news that I heard and the video shots I saw, it did look rather suspicious. So there we are. We mustn't always judge these matters without knowing. But that's something I think that still has to be clarified, because after all, there have been atrocities committed before, and I suppose some people will say, what do you expect, that happens in war? But I don't know, is it right? That's what we really have to ask ourselves. Now, I'm moving on to another site called Democracy Rising, and an email came around talking about Memorial Day, which of course was last weekend. And it was thanking people for signing the petition urging the White House not to take military action against Iran. But the reason I wanted to refer to this one was that if you wish to give your support, you can sign a pledge at the website votersforpeace.us. And they say, and have the confidence to say, we have the power to end the war. We just need to organise it and let them know you were sent by Democracy Rising. And they want to get a debate on Iraq, on the war, in the floor of the US House of Representatives. And they're trying to get in the a majority of members to sign a discharge petition to bring that debate to the floor of the US House of Representatives. So they say we have less than 100 members to go. So there we are, they're achieving something. I don't know how many people you have to have on your list to make that happen, but they've evidently already done quite a good job to get that near. Well, there's a few more news items left, and then I shall come on to ET and UFO reports. I was interested to read that Cindy Sheehan is still active, and she's a very grand lady and a very brave one, I think. And this was referring to Washington, D.C., Thursday afternoon on May the 18th, when over 100 protesters led by Cindy Sheehan exercised a right older than the U.S. Constitution itself, the right of petition. And it says, the right of petition existed as common law and was redeclared in the Assemble and Petition Clauses of our First Amendment. Nevertheless, when the activist attempted to deliver to a White House official a list of over 43,000 names of people who oppose any U.S. military assault on Iran, it was arrogantly refused. And Cindy Sheehan was outraged, and she labelled George W. Bush's White House a crime scene. And the petition, entitled Don't Attack Iran, was also endorsed by 75 groups and was directed to President Bush. And apparently the location was at the Northwest Gate, which fronts on Pennsylvania Avenue, and that was where the incident took place, and it generated a media frenzy. But that came from a report by William Hughes. I don't know which journal or paper he's attached to, but there you are. Cindy Sheehan is still active, and Bush and his friends are still trying to make life awkward. Now, there was an article which came from Lorraine Moray, and it came from a website, mindfully.org. It goes back to the 26th of February 2006. For the little bit I marked up that I thought might be interesting, there apparently has been a scientific study carried out by British scientists Dr. Chris Busby and Seoris Morgan, and they were commenting on the highest levels of depleted uranium ever measured in the atmosphere in Britain. And these apparently were transported on air currents from the Middle East and Central Asia, and of special significance were those from the Tora Bora bombing in Afghanistan in 2001, and the shock and awe bombing during the Gulf War II in Iraq in 2003. And it goes on to say that the British government facility, which is known as AWE, was taken over 3 years ago by Halliburton, which at first refused to release air monitoring data to Dr. Busby as required by law. He did eventually get it, but there we are. That's just a little extract from a report about depleted uranium, but I didn't know that our AWE, which is the Atomic Weapons Establishment, had been taken over by Halliburton. And to me, that doesn't sound very good news, realising the connections it has with Bush and the Illuminati families. I could just mention that after the shock and awe campaign in Iraq in 2003, apparently very fine particles of depleted uranium were captured with larger sand and dust particles in filters in Britain. And apparently they travelled in 7 to 9 days from the Iraqi battlefields as far as 2,400 miles away. And they said that the radiation measured in the atmosphere quadrupled within a few weeks after the beginning of the 2003 campaign. And at one of the five monitoring locations, the levels twice required an official alert to the British Environment Agency. So there we are. They may not think it's much when they use these weapons with depleted uranium tips or whatever they have. But now you see what a danger it is to the whole world, I mean, not just the people in those areas. Anyway, that's what I have on the general news. I'll now come to the UFO and ET bits, which I've lumped together here, because they all result from the experiences of people that have written in the last couple of weeks to the Tree of the Golden Light site, and we're hoping, if we get sufficient reports in, to make this a regular feature. Certainly they will be placed on the site for people to read. So, I have one here from someone called Courtney, and it's topical in a way because it refers in part to chemtrails. So, this person said, and I read, "I have been in contact with my galactic brothers and sisters for a few years now. I currently reside in Las Vegas, NV. We have daily occurrences of ships in the sky from Arcturus, Ashtar Command, Pleiades, Andromeda, and others that I have not identified or made contact with as yet. This is my truth only, and while channeling one day, I came into contact with a scientist aboard an Ashtar Command ship who I called EIF. It's a sound, not a name. He is 12 foot tall, stands up right like us, and has a head similar to a praying mantis. His arms were thin and bent like an insect, but he had a free-flowing uniform on. My mother, who is the interviewer, asked many questions about their lifestyle, community living, children, reproduction of the species, why he chose his profession, housing, about living aboard a ship, other species on the ship with him, and why the contact. He tells me that Arcturian ships are of many that put out nanobites." And the person says in bracket, "I have no other words for them. In the air where the chemtrails are being, these nanobites floating in the air magnetically attract and absorb chemicals. Then the ships vacuum them up and store them in a holding tank until they self-absorb, that is, destruct. On these days, we have 50-mile-an-hour winds and can see these ships, which are the size of the city, hovering low in the sky. The shapes are unmistakable. There is a big oval opening at the bottom of the ship that takes on a 3D look when it's open. And these loving beings are protecting us from any more harm." Person goes on to say, "There are Ashtar Command fleet with the shape of two open crab claws in the front. Body looks similar to a fishbone with six bones on each side tapering down the back, and a scout ship," and they put in brackets, "triangular shape at the back. I often see 3 to 4 scout ships around the larger ship. I have hand-drawn some of the ships. I'm not an artist, but staring at it for a long period gives me the opportunity to draw it in detail. And then finally, we have the bell shape and long cigar ships as well. They are quite visible when the sun is setting. You see more of the metal, and the decloaking is not on. I understand that they turn it off at night because there is no need. There we are. So there's one report there, a slightly longer one here from a lady called Charlotte, and she was saying that she was only 2.5 years old when contact started in 1949, and her parents, older brother, and herself were all in a car, which her dad related was paced by a cigar-shaped UFO. And he said that the ship would speed up when he sped up, and it would slow down when he slowed down. It was very close to the car and travelling at about 25 to 50 feet, skimming the open field that Dad was driving along. She went on to say, it was just before my dad passed away that I was sitting on the couch with him and asked him again, what happened, to go over it one more time as I wanted the correct information. And her mother was in the kitchen, and she walked into the living room when her dad was talking. And he was mentioning some of the details, and she seemed to have a different idea about where it happened and what happened, so they couldn't coordinate their stories. She proceeded to tell how she had marks on her back where the middle bar strap would hit. And it consisted of 3 small spots that formed a triangle, and there were 2 identical triangles end-to-end forming a diamond. She then showed her 2 deep blood red spots above and below her navel, like blood blisters deep red under the skin, and she swears they were not there before the sighting. And finally, the writer says, I asked about scoop marks. She asked me what they were, and I described them, and then she lifted up her walking shorts she was wearing and said, like these, and there at the top centre of each thigh was a Nick's size scoop or mark, dimple-looking spot. Now, I'll interject there and say it often happens that people who have contact with ETs do end up with some kind of marks. It doesn't always mean that they've been subjected to some medical examination. But in this case, the lady, having grown up and then able to ask her parents about it, was looking for some proof. And I think Mum had to assert the fact that something had happened, and she could prove it that way. It went on a bit further, and Dad said they had come home, called the airport to report the sighting, and Dad said the man at the airport said, yes, we saw it come over. It was not making a sound, and it was going so fast. I'm sorry about that. We've lost about 2 or 3 minutes there because the line cut off when I was in mid-sentence. So what I'll do, I'll just retrack very slightly back to where I was, talking about a UFO experience. And the people had called the airport to report the sighting, and they were given information back to the effect that they couldn't attract this UFO anyway because they hadn't a plane available to do so. So that's where I was cut off. So I'll now continue, because they were told there was not an entry of that event entered into the logbooks that evening. So they noted the dates. Not the dates, the times. They noted the times when they left their grandparents, and the airport closed at 11 p.m. And in one way and another, they calculated that somewhere they had vanished for 3 hours, simply doing a 12-mile trip. So there we are. And as we know, that often happens where people have been taken up into the ships. For different reasons, they have the memory of that experience removed, although sometimes it comes back in later. So you can see from that they undoubtedly had quite a long contact with the ETs. Now, this lady, who's somewhat older now, said, I do not recall any of this, but something happened to me, and it was many years later that I guessed at what it was. And she goes on to say that she had various experiences, and she used to walk past a particular area, and she felt somehow she didn't want to look, and she kept sort of turning away from it all the time. And she was trying to figure out what it was that bothered her about this particular place where there was a store and there were hallways and things like that. And she goes on to say that she's had a number of odd experiences like that. And she said one of the more recent was in July 1998 when she apparently went driving and called a friend and told her that she was watching a UFO, which was chasing, or rather, sorry, that she was chasing in the car, and it was at a football field of the local high school, one that she had attended. And she said, I asked her to call the UFO investigator in Seattle and tell them about it and that it was not an aeroplane. And she said the line totally went dead after that, so I checked. Saw that the front and back doors were unlocked and my car was on the opposite side of the driveway than where I usually park. I drove over to the school and wondered if I would recall anything. I knew I needed to find the house with the tan roof, as this was where I had been watching from. I glanced at the paper where she had written verbatim the words she took off the answering machine from my call. And I was shocked to see there was nothing on the paper about the tan roof. It was a real memory. She goes on to say, this one I have to share. I can only tell you that I believe my sons. And it was their experiences that they related to her. Apparently her whole family, as you can gather by now, seemed to share and have these experiences. And she said they were living in the country in about 1970, which location was about 1 mile from where they lived in 1949. And they were living in some property that belonged to their grandfather, and they had small farm animals, chickens, etc. And she said the property was large and deep, and she went way back to an old shed that she used to love and explore that was filled with all kinds of junk that her grandfather had brought to the barn to store. And she said there were some trees, and boys being boys, they wanted to build a fort. And I was concerned for them getting hurt, and I did not drive as yet. Unknown to me, they had made a tree house. Pieces of wood formed the ladder going up, and then scrap wood formed the floor of the fort. Several years ago, we were chatting, and the subject turned to UFOs, etc. Then my oldest son proceeded to tell me a fantastic story. He said he and his mother used to play with the neighbour kids in the fort they built, and asked which kids, and he said the bald-headed one. I asked what he meant, and he said these bald-headed kids used to show up and play with them. And she asked their names, and they did not know, and I asked what they talked about, and he said they did not talk, but we knew what they were saying. Then his brother showed up, caught the drift of what was being spoken about, and said, did you tell her about the time I cut my hands? And the other one said, no, I did not know about that. So he said they were climbing the fort and had come outside because she called them to lunch, and they were worried that they were getting into trouble for having the tree house. So the younger brother said he slid down the ladder, and in doing so, cut his hands very badly on the nails sticking through the wood. And he said he was really scared, not from the cuts or pain, but because he'd be really upset about building the fort after they had not been allowed to. And he said one of the bald-headed kids came over, took his hands, and just held them for a few seconds, and the bleeding and pain stopped. And when he looked, there were no marks where he had been cut by the nails. And again, both of these men, as they are now, swear they are telling the truth. And she said, I would love to get more information from these events. So there we are. There's a few bits from one particular lady who lives in a whole family of people that experience in that way. I think there's one more I can just read that I've got time for, from the same lady, saying that the other experience she's had is this, that last fall she started reading the Arcturian Chronicles, and she was curious about the possibility of ships watching over us. So she looked into the sky and asked the question of whoever was up there. And she said, well, the clouds started forming shapes, very clear shapes, showing an answer in the form of pictures. And after my initial shock and disbelief, I went out about once a week to ask questions. They always answered, and I was impressed they knew me so well. Some of the questions pertained to emotional issues deep inside that only my closest friend would know. I returned to cloud questioning this spring, but my messages are changing. More than once, I've had the feeling that these beings are not only in the sky, but also as close as my backyard. A couple of times when I've asked a question, a part of my body hums or warms up. It's a bit overwhelming. I'm a very private person, and the possibility of someone being as close as the inside of my skin is scary. But then again, I've never felt any judgment or condescending attitude from them. So there we are. I think that really does have to wrap up my program for this week, and that has finished the experiences from that lady, and I'll have some more for you next week. That is for sir. So I didn't get round to any other type of spiritual messages after all, but never mind. I hope you've had an enjoyable program. Thank you for being with me. God bless you all. Hope to see you next week.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.